You're listening to a podcast from Gateway Baptist Church, leading people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. If you'd like to join us or find out more, visit gatewaybaptist.com.au.
G'day, Gateway. I hope you're as excited about what God is going to do this year as I am. You know, one of the words that God put on my heart for 2024 is multiply. I believe God wants to multiply what He has entrusted to us because our God is a magnificent multiplier. He trusted the power of multiplication in His creation. I mean, how many seeds does the average apple have? Come on, every campus, just yell it out. Most apples have 5 seeds. God created one apple with 5 seeds, but it only takes one of those seeds to grow a tree that produces 500 apples a year. He created 2 animals to multiply so that non-vegans can enjoy multiple hamburgers every year. You know, the very first command God gave to people in the Bible was to go forth and, come on, say it with me, to multiply. From one man and one woman came 8 billion people on planet Earth today. Why did God want people to multiply? Because God loves people. God loves all people, and He wants more people in His family. God trusted the power of multiplication in creation, and Jesus trusted the power of multiplication in His ministry. My favorite multiplier is 11. Come on, in every campus, we're going to do a little bit of maths together today. Just yell out the answer if you know it. 11 threes is 33. Come on, 11 sevens is 77. Come on, this is a bit trickier. 11 23s, 253. 11 45s, 495. Some of you knew the answer straight away because there's a predictable pattern to multiplying by 11. You add the two numbers together and put the sum of them in the middle, and it works every time. And Jesus knew that multiplying by 11 would work every time. So He trusted the future of His ministry, His message, and His miracles to the power of multiplying by 11. Matthew 28 says this: when the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go, when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you." See, Jesus trusted that 11 disciples on the side of a hill would multiply His ministry, His message, and His miracles throughout the world. And Jesus is trusting us to multiply what He's given us in our world today. Why? Because God loves people. He wants more people to receive His message, His ministry, and His miracles. The first command in the Bible was to multiply. Jesus' last command on earth was to multiply. And the early church witnessed the power of multiplication on day one. Ordinary believers like you and me were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they shared the gospel in different languages so that everyone could understand. And their number grew from 120 to 3,000 in one day. Why did God do this? Because, come on, every campus, say it with me, because God loves people. And over the last 96 years at Gateway, we've multiplied the message, the ministry, and the miracles of Jesus. You know, the doors opened on a little Sunday school hall in Holland Park for kids from the local area to hear the good news about Jesus in 1928. Little Sunday school started with 43 kids on week 2, and it grew, it multiplied. And it became Gateway Baptist Church. And the message of Jesus has multiplied as we continue to share the good news with each new generation. The ministry of Jesus multiplied as we've reached out to the community and the nations of this world with the hope and the healing of Jesus. And the miracles of Jesus have multiplied as we've opened new doors on new campuses so that people from all different backgrounds, nationalities, and ages have received the miracle of salvation. We're now one church in 6 campuses, leading people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus. Our heart and God's heart is to make mature disciples that multiply. And we all can multiply the ministry of Jesus by using our gifts to serve others in one of our Gateway ministries in 2024. We can all multiply the message of Jesus by hosting Alpha in the wild. inviting someone, some friends, into your lounge room to meet Jesus. You'll hear a bit more about it in just a minute. And we can all multiply the miracles of Jesus as we join together in a few weeks for 21 days of prayer to pray for miraculous breakthrough. We witnessed miracles in 2023. We celebrated with 138 people as they were baptized, all different generations declaring their faith in Jesus. And last Christmas, we gave the biggest Christmas gift that we've ever given, to build a new hospital wing at Yotkum in Kitkum, Uganda, to see more people healed in body, mind and spirit. Together we gave $381,000. So come on, just put every campus, put your hands together. Just thank God for his generosity. I'm believing for more miracles in 2024. The other word that God put in my heart for this year is magnify. There's two kinds of magnifying. There's microscope magnifying and there's telescope magnifying. You know, one makes a small thing look bigger than it is, but the other makes a big thing begin to look as big as it really is. However big you think God is right now, he's bigger than you think in your life, in this church, and in the world. Now, church, we're going to magnify the Lord together. And I pray that we'll begin to see how big God really is. We're going to magnify the Lord together and we're going to lift up the name of Jesus over our families, our campuses, and our city. We're going to magnify the Lord together and we're going to multiply his message, his ministry, and his miracles into the hearts of the next generation, to those we live, work, and laugh with, and into the nations of this world. Come on, every campus, let's stand to our feet right now and let's continue to magnify the Lord together. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Let's declare that Jesus is Lord and King. Come on, let's magnify him. King of kings and Lord of lords, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to you. And Jesus, we thank you that you came into this world to open the doors into your kingdom. And you've opened those doors wide for people to come in. You've opened those doors for the hopeless to come and find hope. You've opened the doors for the weak to come and find strength in you. You've opened your doors for the sick to find healing. You've opened your doors for the lonely to be comforted. You've opened your doors for the dead to come back to life and to know life to the full. Jesus, we thank you. Thank you for your crucifixion. Thank you for your death on that cross. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made. And we glorify you today because of your resurrection. You're alive. You defeated the power of sin and death. And nothing will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that we found in you, Jesus. And we give you thanks and praise this morning. God, would you fill our hearts with worship and praise? God, would you be magnified in our minds and in our hearts? May we see you in all your glory, your majesty. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please grab a seat this morning. Two words for us to remember in 2024. What are they? Multiply and magnify. You know, we're all called to multiply. If you've received something from Jesus, you are to enjoy it and you're to be blessed by it, but you're to multiply it. We're all called to multiply the ministry of Jesus. Whatever Jesus has ministered to you, you're called to multiply it to others. Jesus tells a parable in Matthew chapter 25 about a landowner who's going away for a long time. And so he entrusts some bags of gold to some of his servants. To one of his servants, he gives 5 bags of gold. To another of his servants, he gives 2 bags of gold. And to another of his servants, he gives 1 bag of gold. And when the landowner returns, you know, the dude who had 5 bags of gold, he multiplied it and he gave back double what had been entrusted to him. The dude who had 2 bags of gold, he also multiplied it. He gave back double what had been given to him. But the dude with only 1 measly bag of gold, he hid it in the ground and he just maintained what he had. And when the landowner returned, he said, here's what you gave me. Now, when the 2 guys who multiplied came back and gave back to the landowner what had been entrusted to them that was multiplied, the landowner said to those 2 servants some words that we all want to hear one day. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good. We all want to hear those words one day. This is a parable. This is not, it kind of involves money, but it's not just about money. It's about everything that God has entrusted to us, everything that He's ministered to you. It's gold. It's valuable. It's lasting, and God wants it multiplied. And so one day when Jesus returns, if we have multiplied what He has entrusted to us, every gift, every opportunity, every teaching, every understanding, everything that we've received from the heart and the mind of Jesus, it's gold. It is valuable. It's lasting, and it's to be multiplied. And as we multiply it, one day Jesus will come again and say those words we all want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. But the dude who took his bag of gold and just hid it in the ground and maintained it, he heard some words none of us want to hear. He said, you wicked, lazy servant, get out of my presence. They're pretty harsh words from gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And Jesus is saying, whatever has been entrusted to us, it's to be multiplied into others. And I just want to encourage you, I'm going to talk more about this next week. Every single one of us here in this room, if you've received something from Jesus, it's gold. It's valuable. And it's lasting. And it's to be multiplied. But we're not called to maintain the ministry of Jesus. We're called to multiply the ministry of Jesus. And I'm really glad that when I was a young person in a local church, as I surrendered my life to Jesus, some people multiplied the ministry of Jesus into my life. When I was 19 and I surrendered my life to Christ, I had a youth pastor named Bruce who discipled me. And part of the way that he discipled me is he would walk me around this housing commission suburb at night, and I saw some brokenness in that community. I didn't realize how broken our community was until he did a couple of laps, and he'd tell me stories about the heart of Jesus for the last, the lost, and the least. Because that's what Jesus had put in Bruce, and he multiplied it to me. And then we'd begin to pray for the last, the lost, and the least in that community. And it transformed my heart, and it changed the trajectory of my life. And I would like to think in the last 30-something years, you know, I've been able to multiply that gold that Bruce invested into me into others, a heart for the last, then the lost, and the least. You know, a couple of years later, and these two guys were instrumental in my life at a time in my life where I wasn't sure what God could use me to do. And I was very unconfident and not sure about the future. Both Bruce and Rick, they spoke gold into my life. They helped me believe that God could actually use me to minister to others and to serve in his church. Rick would take me for breakfast at McDonald's at 6 o'clock on a Wednesday morning. And for 3 years, he bought me a sausage and egg McMuffin. And for 3 years, I really wanted a bacon and egg McMuffin. But I was a humble youth pastor and I was too scared to say anything to my boss. And so I ate sausage for 3 years, and it wasn't good for my health. But what he invested into my life has changed my life. You know, I was 22 years old, and Rick taught me about ministry, about marriage, and about money. Things I didn't know about then. But now, I just know that I know that I know them, and I'd like to think once again that I've been able to multiply it into others. You know, the devastating thing for me is that that church that invested so much into my life, and I went on to invest into many other lives there, actually closed its doors on the 1st of October last year. They were down to so few people, they couldn't maintain the ministry. Because somewhere along the line, they stopped multiplying the ministry of Jesus. It devastated me. I'm still devastated 4 months later. I tell you, if we are going to see a move of God in this nation, we need to be multipliers. We need to be disciples who make disciples. We need to be churches who plant churches. If this nation is going to come to know Jesus, we've got to multiply the ministry of Jesus into others. And we can all be a part of it. If you're a parent in this room and you've got kids sitting around your table every week coming from Kids Zone, there will be, you know, parent cue cards, faith conversation starters that you can use around your table to actually minister to those who sit around your table, to invest, you know, the message of the kingdom into those around your table. You know, every week at Gateway Youth and at our Young Adults Ministries, there's opportunities for for people to invest into the next generation. One of the things I've loved seeing in our young adults ministry in the last couple of years is a number of people who are no longer young adults. They're still, you know, young at heart, but they're no longer young adults, and they're investing into the next generation week after week. And I tell you, this generation needs it. And there'll be some others here in this room who could do that, who could just gather, you know, 6 or 8 young adults around them, love them, open the Word with them, pray for them at a time where they're making big decisions about the trajectory of their lives. That generation is leaving the church in droves in Australia. Thankfully, right now, that generation is growing in our church, but it takes people like you and me investing into that generation. If you can't do any of those ministries, can I just say, when you walk through the doors or when you jump online every week, if you're over 40, just have a look around at some people who've got a few less wrinkles than you and a few less grey hairs, and just say, how can I encourage them? How can I pray for them this Sunday? We've got to multiply the ministry of Jesus into the next generation. And we've got to multiply the message of Jesus, because it's a good message. You know, and Jesus tells another parable, this time about a farmer sowing seed. Probably wasn't seed quite this big, but he was scattering seed, and some seed landed on rocky ground. The enemy just snatched it away straight away, never took root. Some seed landed in rocky soil, and the roots never went down deep, never matured. You know, the Word of God never took a hold in that person's heart, and they never became a mature disciple. Some seed landed amongst the weeds and it started to grow up, but over time, the deceitfulness of wealth and the worries of this world choked out the Word of God in their life, and it never, you know, came to maturity. But in Mark chapter 4, verse 8, it says, some seed landed on good soil and it grew up, it matured, and it produced a crop. Say it with me, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. And we got this picture here of the Word of God being sown into our lives. And as we mature as disciples of Jesus, the Word of God actually transforms our lives and we begin to look more like Jesus. And one of the things that happens when we look more like Jesus is that the Word of God gets multiplied into others. Because God loves people and He wants all people to receive His Word. You plant this seed in the ground, what are you going to get? Come on, yell it out. What are you going to get? We're not getting a macadamia. We're getting an avocado. It's an avocado seed. Plant that in the ground. And I'm telling you, these things must be like gold. You go to a coffee shop, you know, tomorrow morning, and you get some smashed avocado on toast for $24, you work it out per ounce, it's about the same as buying a bar of gold. It's a good seed to plant. You get a bunch of these growing, you got gold hanging on your tree. But there's a better seed. There's a better seed that you can sow. That's going to be more lasting, it's going to be more valuable, it's going to be more transforming than any other seed that you can sow. It's the seed of the gospel. It's the seed of the good news of Jesus. It's the only seed that will lead to salvation. It's the only seed that will lead to eternal life. And this is the scary bit, but also the exciting bit. We all get to be part of multiplying that seed, of multiplying the message of Jesus. It's not just for a few. Not everyone's going to stand here on a stage with a Bible open and a microphone on and share the message of Jesus in that way. Not everyone's going to stand on a street corner and share it with people as they walk by. But I actually think every single one of us here in this room and online, we could throw a Matthew party and multiply the message of Jesus. Matthew chapter 9 says this: as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Just by the way, if you haven't worked it out, he went on to write one of the Gospels. And while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. I've often wondered if those people knew that when they accepted the invitation to Matthew's house for dinner, they were going to get called sinners for the next 2,000 years. Would they have accepted the invitation? I'm not sure. But they were sinners who needed the message of Jesus. And the Pharisee says, "What's Jesus doing? Hanging out with all these sinners?" They thought that the message of the kingdom of heaven was only for a few. And Jesus says, I've come not for the healthy, but for the sick. Every person who is sick with sin, my message is for them. Matthew just invited a bunch of people, only a brand new follower of Jesus. It's a bunch of stuff he doesn't know, doesn't understand. But he invites a bunch of people to sit around his table and he introduces them to Jesus. I actually think we could all do that. We're calling it Alpha in the wild. Outside of these four doors, Brad Case has been doing an awesome job running Alpha and will continue to. And he started trialing this a little bit at the end of last year, just giving people all of the resources to run Alpha in their lounge room, in a coffee shop, at university. Just gather 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people around a table, as long as you've got either an iPad or a laptop or a TV on the wall, you've got all the resources of Alpha for free at your disposal. Some of you, as you think about inviting your friends to sit around your table and talk about Jesus, it's terrifying. Some of you got heart palpitations right now. I get it. I totally get it. But I just wonder if we did put that aside just for a minute. What could happen if we had a go? What might happen as we scatter the seeds of the gospel sitting in our own lounge room? I believe we're going to see something miraculous happen. Even if you're not sure you could do this, but you just want to find out a little bit more about Alpha in the wild, can I encourage you to come to this training day? February the 20th, 7 p.m. Here at Mackenzie. Just come and find out what it would be like to lead Alpha in the wild. At the end, you decide, "I can't do this, I'm sorry." That's fine. Just come along. Find out. I'm believing God's going to surprise us in 2024 with the people who find salvation in lounge rooms. We're called to multiply the ministry of Jesus. We're called to multiply the message of Jesus. And we're called to multiply the miracles of Jesus. You know, one of Jesus' most famous miracles is when he was preaching too long on the side of a hill and everybody got hungry. And the disciples said, "You need to send them away to get some food." Jesus says, "You feed them." And they say, "We've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. We can carry it all in one hand." And Jesus says, "Give it to me." And he blessed it. And we see that Jesus was a miraculous multiplier. He took those 5 loaves and 2 fish, what they had in their hand, and he multiplied it so that everyone had enough in their belly. Come on, who believes that Jesus is still a miraculous multiplier today? Come on, who believes that Jesus can still miraculously multiply? We have seen it in our time. We've seen miracles of provision over the last few years as we've multiplied into 6 campuses around our city, as we've opened the doors for people to come in and people have come to faith and people have become part of a family. People's lives have been changed by Jesus in all of our campuses. We've seen miracles of provision. We've seen miracles of provision to build that enormous kids and youth building out there where hundreds of young people can come in every weekend, and the message of Jesus getting multiplied into their hearts. Our neighbours ministry, reaching out to people in need and to refugees in our community with the hope and the healing of Jesus, has multiplied again this year. We've now got multiple vans out on the road and a coffee cart, just providing a home for people and practical help for people to discover that they're welcome here and that they belong. We've multiplied, we've seen miracles of provision at Christmas. I've been doing Christmas here at Gateway for a long time. We've given a lot of generous gifts for a long time. But last Christmas, as a church, we gave $381,000 to build a new hospital wing in Kitgum, Uganda, where people are going to get healed in body, mind, and spirit. That is miraculous provision. I think Andrew and Anna are here. Andrew, do a little dance for us. Here you are. These guys are pretty excited, and so they should be. God is going to do something good in that place because of your generosity. We've seen miracles of salvation. Last year, we baptized more believers and new believers than we ever have before, and I don't believe that's going to stop. It's part of the reason for Alpha in the Wild. I just believe God wants to continue to multiply this miracle of salvation out of these doors into our community through our witness in our homes. I'm believing for miracles to get multiplied in 2024. Some of you have heard me tell the story of my mum getting healed of mental illness when she was in her 30s. She'd lived with it for over 20 years, just crippled by agoraphobia and anxiety and depression, just locked herself up at home for months at a time. And one day a pastor prayed for her in the name of Jesus. She's set free. Laughed for 8 hours straight. Never felt so much joy. It's one of those moments I just look back to in my life. I just know that God is big. I haven't told the story as much about my dad getting healed of asthma. My dad was a severe asthmatic. It was very difficult for him when he was young until, you know, they started coming up with better drugs. I'm very thankful to our medical community and our scientists, and you know, Ventolin really changed my dad's life when it came along. And I never saw him ever go anywhere without his puffer, my whole life. He would walk with it. It was always in his pocket. He was always puffing away on it. Like, we'd go water skiing. He'd be in the water and he'd get an asthma attack and he'd pull it out of his pocket and start. He never went anywhere without it. And then when he was around 50, lived with it his whole life. He was in church one day and a pastor said, there's somebody here that God wants to heal of asthma. Who's got faith for it? My dad just knew God was tapping him on the shoulder. And the pastor said, God's told me you need to run around this auditorium 7 times, just like Joshua marched around Jericho. It wasn't the normal kind of thing my dad did in church. He didn't run very often, especially without this. He ran around that auditorium 7 times as people prayed. He was instantly healed. He's never picked up one of these again in his entire life. I don't understand it. I honestly don't. But I want to understand it more. It's one of the things God's put on my heart, is just to investigate the miracles of Jesus. Find out what are some of the keys. We see in all the miracles of Jesus, just giving. This is something God's put in my hand. It's a very tangible reminder that God heals today. But when we give to God what we've got in our hand, the bit of faith that he's given us, we can see him do incredible miracles. And every miracle originates from revelation from heaven, not the mind of man. That's why we can't understand it. That's why it's not a formula and it doesn't always make sense. But I'm believing
for miracles in 2024. I'm believing that God's going to multiply miracles. God has put something in your hand that needs to get multiplied, to multiply his ministry, his message, his miracles. The other word for 2024 is, come on, say it with me, magnify. Mary was a magnifier. You know, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she's, probably 13, 14, 15 years old, and an angel turns up and says, you are pregnant and you're going to give birth to the Son of God. And we know the story. We celebrate it every Christmas. We've sung songs about it, and it's all turned out, you know, kind of nice. But at that moment in time, that was a tough time for Mary. It was a confusing time. There was lots to worry about. There was lots to be confused about. There was lots to be concerned about. You know, she could have been stoned to death for being pregnant outside of marriage. She could have been divorced. She didn't know whether that was going to happen or not. She could have suffered, you know, horribly and been ostracized from her community. If she really was going to give birth to a king, she could have been chased around the countryside and become a refugee, you know, in Egypt as other kings were threatened by this little baby that she carried. She didn't know what was going to happen, but she knew all of those things could have been possibilities. But what does this young girl from a poor peasant family in a backwater town in Bethlehem, what does she choose to do in that moment? She magnifies the Lord. She writes a song, Luke chapter 1. It says, it begins with, my soul magnifies the Lord. My soul says, God is bigger. He's done amazing things in the past, and he can do amazing things through his humble servant. Her worship song that she writes is being sung right now in nations all over the world in all different languages. And it is every single day of the week. She writes a worship song that the world has been using to worship God and to magnify him for 2,000 years. But it wasn't the first time that Mary had worshiped. In that song, she's actually pinched some lines from other psalms that she's sung from memory as a young girl. She's pinched some truth from scripture that she would have had to memorize because she didn't have a Bible that she could open and read. You see, Mary was a humble worshiper. Mary was a Bible memorizer. And Mary was a God magnifier. I believe God is calling us to magnify him as a church in 2024. And we got a great season to be part of that in this 21 days of prayer and fasting coming up, starting towards the end of February. It's an important season for us as a church as we come together, as we magnify the Lord together and we gather the hungry. Come on, is anybody here hungry for a move of God in their life? Is anyone hungry for a greater move of God in the church? Is anyone hungry? And you can answer me this time. Is anyone hungry for a greater move of God across this nation? Come on. That's what this season is all about. It's a time to magnify the Lord together and to gather the hungry, to cry out together and say, God, we want to see you move. God, we want to see miracles. We want to see people saved. We want to see people healed. We want to see people set free. We're going to magnify the Lord together. Because how you see Jesus will determine what you believe he can do. You see, if you see Jesus as a set of good ideas, you know, he's a good teacher with some good ideas, then you'll believe that his words are a good idea to read and a good idea to try and obey. And you'll set yourself to reading his word and trying to obey his words if you see Jesus as a set of good ideas. If you see Jesus as a close friend, then you'll believe that Jesus is there for you to comfort you and to give you peace in your times of need. That's what you'll believe he can do. If you see Jesus as a wonderful Savior, then you'll believe that Jesus can forgive your sins. And one day you'll go to heaven when you die. And Jesus is a good teacher with a bunch of good ideas that we should read and we should try and obey. But Jesus is more. He is bigger than a set of good ideas. And Jesus can be a close friend who wants to walk in intimacy with you. But he's more than just a person to comfort you in your times of need. And Jesus is a wonderful Savior. But I'm telling you, he's more than just a ticket to heaven when you die. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin in a miraculous way, grew up and did miracles that this world has never seen before. People were astonished at his teaching. People were astonished at his miracles. And people began to worship him as king. But he was misunderstood. He was betrayed. And Jesus died on a cross, perfect man, only one to perfectly fulfill the law. He did take our place. He is a wonderful Savior. He's cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. But Jesus is more than a set of good ideas. He's better than a close friend. He is bigger than a wonderful Savior. Jesus Christ is the risen King. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. He defeated the power of sin and death once and for all. He holds this world in his hands. It is sustained by the power of his word. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords, and he's still using ordinary people like you and me to multiply his message, his ministry, and his miracles through the world. He's poured out his spirit into our lives. So we're not just trying hard to do anything. We're actually living in the flow, in the power of his spirit, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead every day to see miracles happen, to see salvation come, to see people, the lonely, get welcomed. That's why we're going to magnify the Lord together in 2024, because how you see Jesus will determine what you can believe he can actually do in your life, in this church, and around this world. Come on, let's stand together, church. If you're online, can I just encourage you to stand right now? Stand in your lounge room. Let's stand as one community. We're going to magnify the Lord together. Let's continue to declare Jesus Christ is King. I just want to encourage you, lift your hands as we wait on God, as we wait on Him, as we cry out to Him, as we magnify Him. Just lift your hands in worship. Jesus, you are the one who changes lives now and forevermore. Jesus, you're a wonderful healer. Come on, let's just pray. Let's just pray for the broken in our community. Pray that God would pour out his healing, his hope in Jesus' name.
Lord, we just thank you for this community in which you've placed us. Father, we ask that you would pour out your Spirit. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, come, break through the darkness. Lord, where there are people who don't know your hope, Father, who are living in darkness, living in confusion, living in despair, Lord, we pray that you would break through. Holy Spirit, that you would come in power. Lord, you would restore families. You would restore relationships, Father. You would break through addictions, Father. You would break through mental illness, Father. Lord, use us as a church. Use us and the communities you've given us right here, Father. We can only do this through you. And I thank you that you are all powerful. Lord Jesus, you have all authority and we stand in that authority, Lord Jesus, and we just say, come Jesus, break through in our communities, restore lives and just move in power. We just thank you, Jesus, in your name, amen.
Really felt after the 8 o'clock service, we just need to pray for some miracles today. If you're here this morning and you need a miracle of healing, you need a miracle of provision, you need a miracle of salvation in your family, you got prodigals, you're just crying out to God for them to come home. You need a miracle right now. Can I just get you just to stick your hand up just wherever you are, just say, I'm praying for a miracle today. Just keep your hand up. Come on, keep it up. What I'm going to do is, I just want you to keep it up till there's at least one person standing with you. Just, if that's okay, they're just going to put a hand on your shoulder. Come on, let's move around, church. Come on, let's be the church. Let's just move and stand with someone, just believing for a miracle. Just tell them in one sentence the miracle that you need. Come on, just in one sentence, tell them the miracle that you need. Just begin to pray. Come on, begin to pray. Begin to pray for that person that you're standing with. Whatever words you got, whatever faith you got. I need some more people to move around. There's still some hands in the air. Thank you, Jared. You're a good man. Come on, just begin to pray. Just lift up the name of Jesus over their lives, over their bodies, over their health. Come on, just pray for miracles this morning. Believe for it. Come on, just cry out in faith. Whatever you know to pray, just ask Jesus to move in power. Ask Jesus to set free. Ask Jesus to provide, to heal. He's a miraculous multiplier. Call on the authority of heaven.
Holy Spirit, we ask that you would pour out your healing in this place today, in the name of Jesus. Thank you that you have all authority in heaven and on earth over sickness, over infirmity, over darkness that takes hold of people's minds, of their bodies. You have authority, and we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would pour out your healing in this place today. Have this picture that God gave me after the 8 o'clock service of hands that were raised to Jesus, hands that knew the Holy Spirit within, and God was anointing those hands to bring healing. That as you lay hands on people, believing in faith that God can do what doctors can't do, what man cannot do, that as you lay hands, the power of the Spirit is at work in you and through you, bringing heaven to earth in healing body, mind, and spirit. So raise your prayers this morning. Raise your faith today that God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine or even understand. That's who He is. And God, we ask that you would bring your healing in this place today, not for the sake of Gateway, not for the sake of our glory, Lord, but for the sake of your glory here on earth, that your name would be made famous in our lives, in this city, in this nation, as you pour out your Spirit over us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, I pray for some testimonies of breakthrough today. And God, even if it's just one, it's just two, it's just a trickle, God, we would continue to seek you. We would continue to learn from you. God, this would be a year where we learn to walk in the miraculous power of Jesus in a new way. God, you'd be building faith in our hearts from testimony to testimony. God, we give you glory. Come on, right now, maybe you just need to sing this song over the people that you were just praying for. Maybe you need to sing it over your own family. Maybe you need to sing it over the community. Maybe you need to sing it over your neighbors you're going to invite to Alpha in the Wild. But come on, let's speak Jesus. Let's speak Jesus into this city. Come on.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. We're a growing family, and if you'd like to discover more about where we meet in all our locations and online, visit gatewaybaptist.com.au.